It's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The sideline report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. We've got a busy show. We'll start the day talking Caldwell County Tiger basketball. And then a little bit later on this morning, Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com will join us, and we'll talk some more basketball, and we'll talk about the state wrestling tournament coming up this weekend as well. Stay with us as we roll on here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Hello, I'm Sheila Gates with Farmers Bank. Is your money working hard or hardly working? With a Farmers Bank certificate deposit, you get a safe investment with a predictable return on your hard-earned dollars. Call today and see how we can make rising interest rates a good thing for your bottom line. For a limited time only, ask about our new money promotion that gives you an even higher rate. Farmers Bank, live unique, bank unique, member FDIC. Terms apply.
At Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky, you're treated like family. Because to them, family is everything. Johnson's has the reputation of helping customers with brands you can count on, like GE Appliances. Shop their selection of GE Appliances with premium finishes and features that make household chores easier, giving you time to do what matters. Bring home the long-lasting quality of GE Appliances today. Trust Johnson's for furniture, bedding, and appliances. Because you're like family, and family is everything.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to pro shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice-Hughes Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice-Hughes in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Kentucky. Brought to you by the Kentucky High School Athletic Association and the Kentucky Athletic Administrators Association.
Today's society is dependent on electricity. The Princeton Electric Plant Board has what you demand for electricity anywhere, anytime, at the required level of quality. They work to ensure our community's power system has the resources in place for reliability today and into the future. Their work and commitment has reduced the frequency and duration of power outages with a reliability rate of 99.9%. Princeton Electric Plant Board, bringing our customers safe and reliable energy.
We are back on the Sideline Report here at 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. As promised, talking Caldwell County Tiger basketball now. We have Tiger coaches Daniel Cookie-Hicko and Sam Curran in the studio with us. And Daniel, first of all, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a little bit.
And Sam, appreciate you coming in this morning talking some basketball with us.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Daniel, a tough loss for you guys Tuesday night over at Hopkins County Central, but thought the guys gave a good effort, just came up a little bit short.
Absolutely. They bought into the game plan the first half, maybe the best half we played all year long. And then the second half, we had about a minute and a half stretch where we just kind of struggled a little bit. But, you know, we ended up getting down, I think, 10 at one point. And then the guys fought back and actually took a lead there with about 2.5 minutes to go, 1-point lead. But, you know, it just – that one little stretch, I think, is what got us and was tough to really crawl back from.
Got off to the great start, though. Had a 14-point lead there in the first half, and things were kind of rolling. And like you say, playing your best basketball of the season, it looked like.
Absolutely. You know, and we knew they were going to continue to make runs at us, and we made some runs back at them. But I'm just proud of the guys and the way they persevered. You know, I think that that game was kind of a snippet of our full season, of all the obstacles those guys had to encounter, and, you know, injuries. It was a revolving door of injuries there for a while, and you know, you can't fault them on effort, can't fault them on anything. Just they played for as hard as they could, so that's all you can ask of them.
Sam, talk a little bit about how the team improved from the first of the season up into the district tournament.
Well, like the coach said, we were struggling with injuries. We had a young team in some spots, and they really grew over the year, and they finally bought into what we were trying to accomplish. And like you said, that last game, they really did a good job. We had a good plan.
Felt like the season was just a little bit too short for us. By the time we finally got everybody in place, it was February, and then it was a mad dash to get to the district tournament.
Yeah, I told Coach as we were traveling back that we just ran out of games.
Yeah,
we were getting better and better. And I know the other teams were really looking forward to playing us at the end of the year.
Yeah, Daniel, one thing we didn't talk about the other night or haven't really mentioned much, the last time you went to Hopkins Central, had a bit of an incident over there. Of course, everybody knows a bunch of players got suspended a game or two for leaving the bench area, most of them over on Hopkins County Central side. But I thought both teams did a really good job the other night of kind of putting that behind them and just going out and playing basketball.
Absolutely. I don't think we even addressed it at all with our guys, other than the fact that, you know, it was motivation just because we lost last time, not because of the incident or what happened, just motivation to buy into the game plan and compete for 32 minutes. And our guys did a good job of that. And like I said, other than that, we really didn't even talk about it.
Yeah. So difficult, it seems like, to compete in the 7th District. Madisonville, North Hopkins every year just seems like they have really good teams.
We've had this conversation all year long. You know, we have, you know, a lot of guys on our, you know, varsity roster. We dress 13 guys, and, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, at a school our size, a lot of those guys probably would benefit from, you know, playing, some of them playing freshman, some of them playing JV, and just getting more reps. And a lot of our guys don't have that luxury. They, at a young age, get thrown into that varsity, you know, lineup or, you know, those 6, 7, 8 men. And you know, at the bigger schools, there was a couple of schools that played Marshall County, for example. They're a solid basketball team, but it was almost like they had one or two guys that kind of overlap from their JV players to their varsity players. And when you have, a 10, 12 man varsity roster, 15 man varsity roster, and then put, you know, 10, 12 on your JV that are different, and then you do the same thing with freshmen, you're looking at a much bigger pool of players to pull from. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we've talked about this all season long. A lot of our guys, you know, in the midst of those injuries, one positive that can come out of that on the other side is that you put a lot of guys in there that are getting a lot of valuable experience. They see what varsity basketball is like, you know, especially a bunch of sophomores and freshmen that, you know, may not have got the, if we had been full strength, may not have got the minutes. But I tell you what, some of those guys came in and battled and played, did a lot of good things. You know, two that come to my mind were Jack Roach coming off the bench. He started a couple games, played physical. He got some valuable experience. And then, you know, Luke Maddox comes off the bench, or actually come off the bench and actually I think started a game at in the Christmas tournament, and then he's the one who hits the game winning shot to beat Fort Campbell. It's just one of those things where those moments are, you know, those guys are going to remember those moments.
Has been a while since we had a district championship, though, going back to 2007, and of course we all used to talk about, man, we wish we were back in the 5th district, but I'm not sure that would help right now, but with Lyon County sitting down there. But, you know, there are some good teams in the region, and you look at Lyon County and Madisonville, North Hopkins, and teams like that, and then it seems like every year it comes down to us and Hopkins County Central to see who can get out of the district.
That's typically the way it shapes up. More times than not, since I've been here, it's the way it shaped up. And even when I was at Central, it kind of shaped up that way. It just, but I tell you, you know, I thought there was a whole lot of competitive games in our district this year. It stinks. I know there's some other districts that are other parts of the state that still do the blind draw. And I have mixed feelings about that, I guess. But, it is what it is. You know, you have to beat, you know, when you get to the postseason, you know, every game is going to be a challenge because it's different. Everybody's record goes back to 0-0, and everybody's playing for the same thing. They want to continue to play, and that first game is especially big because it guarantees you two more games and a berth in the region tournament. So, you know, it's an exciting time. Even though it was short-lived, it's still an exciting time for the guys and then the environment.
Well, and one thing the 7th District does that I really like is the second meeting each year is the tiebreaker, so we're not flipping a bunch of coins to see who gets what seed. You kind of know going into a game where you stand.
Absolutely. I think sometimes it may be, you know, if it gets to the 7th or 8th tiebreaker, if that's even possible, the coin flip. But that I just can't I can't wrap my mind around flipping a coin to decide who plays who. Yeah. I just doesn't seem almost doesn't seem fair when you get to that point. You know that all the teams have like you know put blood, sweat, and tears into you know fighting for a spot, and then we flip a coin to decide it. There's got to be a better way. Play another game or have a 3-point shooting contest, something, but something that's not just a coin flip.
Yeah, Sam, talk a little bit about your role on the coaching staff and how did you end up at Caldwell County?
Well, I did retire, and then I came in and I'm helping my wife with her class, and a spot opened up on the team, and I've always wanted to teach or coach at the high school level. I've coached at the middle school level, and so I took over the freshman team. They were mostly eighth graders. They did very well. I hope they grow, and we should have some pretty good talent coming up.
Daniel, as we look back at the season as a whole, and I've mentioned this a couple of times now, I sure do regret that we didn't get to play the West Kentucky Hoops Classic this year. It's, you know, you look back through the season, I'm like, man, I wish we would have got those games in.
Absolutely. You know, we've had some really good fields over the last 7 or 8 years. I think the two best fields are potentially the two best fields were the two tournaments we didn't get to have, the COVID year when we had to cancel, and then this year when the snow kind of hit us. You know, there was a lot of talent that, and to be honest with you, there was a lot of talent that was in hotels around here that were ready to go.
Yeah.
And then just couldn't, it just wasn't safe for the teams to come on campus. It was ice everywhere, and everybody experienced that. And so you hated to have, you know, especially to have those teams within just a few miles of the high school and not be able to watch them compete. But you know, hopefully we can get some of those teams come back next year and then have a even better event next year.
Well, the one game we actually got in featuring the out-of-state teams was a double overtime game. So you kind of felt like we were going to see a lot of that if we'd got to play over 2 days.
Absolutely. And that team actually had a really good game the last time they were here, too. They, you know, it just – I think when you bring in high-level teams from different states that really have no other avenue to play each other, it brings a level of motivation for them, but it's also good for our guys and our community, especially with a young team, to say this is what basketball is like. And you know, we've had Oklahoma or Georgia or Alabama or you know whatever state, North Carolina, to see, hey, this is what it's like over there. And you know, see, you know, we've had some guys that went on to play, you know at the D1 level and some even more. Or even higher. So it's really cool. A cool experience as a coach. It's cool to see and talk to the other coaches as they come in. This is, you know, this is what we're experiencing. This is what it's like in Mississippi. Like, I know I talked to Coach Little, who's the Biggersville coach, and I'm always – he's a good guy. Always impressed talking to him. And to hear that he coaches the boys' team and the girls' team and the freshman JV and the middle school teams, I'm like, how do you do this? And he was like, well, my family's just all in. I was like, you got to be able to coach all those teams.
Well, and it felt like most of the teams understood the situation. I felt bad, though, for those that made the long trips to get here and then never got to play. And two teams, I think, played a quarter or a half, and that was all they got to play.
Yeah, we thought we were going to be able to get the game in, and then the weather kind of got after us a little bit quicker than normal. We tried to speed things up best we could, and we gave it our best shot. But you're right. The teams were – I know they were disappointed. I'd have been disappointed too. But they were all very respectful. They understood, and we tried to give them a heads up, you know, the night before going in. This is kind of what we're going to try to do. You know, if it – hopefully the weather may just dissipate and the sun will come out. But that's not what happened. So they were all respectful, and everybody made it home safely, which is the most important thing.
Has anyone checked the forecast for December 21st and 22nd for this year? Because usually that's a nice warm week. You know, around Christmas time, you usually have pretty good weather. It's been February before we get snow here recently, but that one kind of snuck up on us and really, again, just cost us the West Kentucky Hoops Classic, and that's such a great event that it's kind of hard to let that one go.
It is. And you think about it, about 10 years now we've been having the event. Take the COVID year out because that was kind of just a different ballgame in itself. But, like, this is the first year we really had to deal with weather. So 1 in 10 years, I'll take that. Every 10 years I have to deal with it 1 year. I can live with that.
Looking back at the season, how did things go from your standpoint? Kind of assess where the team was, where the season started, and where you ended up, because, you know, you lost a great player from last season, Jabrion Spikes, and I think anytime you lose a great player like that, it's kind of difficult to get going the next season because everybody's roles on the team have changed because he was really, really good.
Absolutely. You know, especially last year, losing Jabrion, averaging 32.5 points a game. And then the guys that were around him, like you said, their role was just different. They didn't have to be the primary scorer. They didn't have to be even it even took some pressure off, like Carter. He has the ball in his hands quite a bit, or Xavi. Like, Jay had the ball in his hands quite a bit. So it takes a little bit of time to kind of get those roles figured out. But then very quickly, you know, we're thinking, all right, we'll take us, you know, 5, 6, 7 games, kind of get some continuity, get some guys, you know, the reps, and then all of a sudden we deal with injury. It's a revolving door. And then you add in the fact that we're putting, you know, it's sometimes two or three guys out there that have zero varsity experience, that, you know, may not even be ready to go out there. I look at, you know, Jay Darius.
Yeah.
Who is playing his, you know, his first real varsity, his first game in like a handful of years since Youth Incorporated. And to throw him out there against the varsity opponents, that's just a, you know, he's a very talented young man, but like that's overwhelming. And I think his head was still spinning at the end of the season, but we were able to slow it down a little bit for him. Yeah. And there's just so many things that he experienced over the course of this year that you have to think that this offseason is going to be really, really good for him. And hopefully next year the game can slow down for him a little bit so he's not, you know, just always spinning. But, you know, you mentioned just the roles change. That was the biggest thing to figure it out. And then you add in the obstacles of the just everything we dealt with. It takes a little time to get there, which is why, you know, on the bus ride home, Coach Curran said we just needed a few more games. And he's right. We needed about 5 more games to get our guys. You know, we played, if you look at several games over the last part of the season, last 2 or 3 games, we played about 6 guys, maybe 7. And, you know, those 6 or 7 guys probably only played about maybe, I'd say, 4 or 5 games together all year long. So it just takes a little bit of time. But, you know, end of the day, the guys persevered, and that's all you can ask of them.
We're talking this morning with Kaw County boys basketball coaches Daniel Cookie-Hicko and Sam Curran. And, Sam, talk a little bit about what you saw out of Jay Darius this season and his progression and just all the guys on the team, what you kind of saw from this season.
Well, first of all, I was impressed with the talent in this area. It's been a long time since I've been around that. And Jay Darius, it took him a little while. Like Coach said, you know, this was his first year. And varsity ball's fast. And it was just too fast for him. He needed to learn how to slow it down. But he also needed to be a little bit more physical. And at the end of the year, he was playing physical. He was going to the hole. We were playing downhill. And I see a great future for Jay.
Just looked like he was having to think a whole lot early in the year, and things came a little more natural toward the end of the year.
Yeah, you know, you could see him at the beginning. He grabbed the ball. He just wasn't sure what he wanted to do. And then we worked with him, and he was going up quick, going up strong at the end of the year, and he was a difference for our team at the end of the year.
Yeah, and he's got some tools. I mean, he's got a really nice looking shot, and he finishes well around the basket.
Yeah, he's got soft hands. If he'll work out off season, get stronger, get a little bit of strength in his arms and legs, he's going to be a difference maker.
Now, looking ahead to next season, Daniel, when do you start putting a schedule together, and what do things look like for next year?
We've already got a couple games on the map. You know, we mentioned we don't have opponents yet for the West Kentucky Hoops. We got those dates solidified, and then already got a couple games scheduled. You try to get your district game scheduled first so you can kind of lock those dates in, and then just start building. There's actually a scheduling meeting coming up next week where a lot of the coaches will be there and try to start building their schedule for next year. Hopefully within the next, you know, 3 weeks, month, the schedule will be done. The likelihood of that happening are not very good, just because you want to try to play some out of region opponents too, and trying to work out schedules. And of course, you know, a lot of teams are still playing. So, but I already started to answer your question and trying to build that schedule, and hopefully we can get a few more home games on the schedule this year.
Well, I don't want to catch you off guard with this question, but next year is the 60th anniversary of the second region championship back in 1964. Can we do anything next year to maybe highlight that a little bit?
I'd say it'd be definitely on the radar. That was a heck of an accomplishment by that team. There's actually there's a picture of that team in the high school, and so it's a 60 years has been a long time. So you definitely don't want the the current Tigers to forget what the former Tigers have accomplished. And you know, that's tradition, and tradition sometimes is a lot of times is a good thing to look back on, because you know, as generations come and go, it's kind of like, well, it's all about this generation. Well, there's guys that came before you that laid a foundation, that played things the right way, and so you definitely don't want guys to forget on that. So yeah, we'll get some stuff in the works for that.
Well, and this season was actually the 60th anniversary of Dotson's regional championship, and I thought we had a great learning moment during the season when Dwight Smith's jersey was retired at Western Kentucky, and I'm sure a lot of kids don't have any idea who Dwight Smith was, but this was a chance for them to learn that, hey, this guy was this good, and he's from here.
Absolutely. There's a in the trophy case out there, there's some stuff out there. The guys probably don't know exactly, like you said, who he was, and heck, I don't remember watching him play, obviously, but you know, just hearing stories and hearing how good he really, really was. And, you know, obviously his dad, Mr. Henry, you just won't find a better guy than him. I can remember even in high school when he was working at the high school, you know, it didn't matter. And you know that everybody has tough days, but I don't feel like he ever had a bad one. You shake his hand and he talked to you, how you doing? And he had this voice that was just like, and just you could just, he was just a great man. And so, you know, but that's part of that Caldwell County tradition, all those schools coming. And I think, you know, hopefully over the next, I won't say next year, but the next several years, got a new floor this year. I think there's some updates coming to a lot of facilities. There's a lot of things in Caldwell County school system besides the gym that are kind of in the works. We've got a new indoor facility that's for, you know, baseball and softball and other places to use. So hopefully we can bring some of that tradition and those, you know, the Dotson and the other schools that bring it, so that people walk into the cab, they can see, hey, this is a place of tradition, and we can visually display that.
Yeah, exactly. You'd love to see banners for Dotson and even for Fredonia in 1954. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you know this one or not, but the first actual regional championship game participant from this county was Cobb back in 1936.
Oh, wow. It's been a few years.
They were regional runner-up to Nebo that year.
Okay.
Nebo was like 40-3 that season and state runner-up. So pretty good season. You know, that should be recognized someplace. I mean, that was a regional runner-up team. So,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And somebody like an Emma Talley, you know,
right,
when you walk in our gym, you should know that that's where Emma Talley went to school at.
Right.
You know, those kind of things. So it's always fun when we go around the area to different gyms and see some of the historical things they have up. I've been trying to take notes. So, you
right.
know, one of these days, maybe we can do some of those things with our gym.
Absolutely, absolutely. Those things need to be on display. And some of them are there in the trophy case, but it's not, trophy case is not actually inside the gym.
Right.
It's kind of outside. So you want them in there where people can just, as they're sitting around, they can see the history. Because as you said, there's a lot of a really, really cool history about Caldwell County, and especially athletics that needs to be on display.
Well, and again, I hate to put you on the spot, but when can we get a game back at Butler? And, you know, the big thing out there is people wanting a game at Fredonia. That's the big thing. So I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Nah.
So, you know, forgive me, but those are always things. I mean, the Butler games I always love. So
the last Butler game we played down there was probably one of the coolest games, because not even – obviously we got the win. I think the girls and boys both won with
yeah.
Big Crittenden County. And our guys, you know, playing down there in that historic gym. But for me, the coolest part about it was to hear the stories about what a game in the, I guess, I don't want to, the old days or whatever,
yeah,
was like at Butler. To hear the stories about, well, this is where these people sat, this is where like the kids sat, and this is where all the knuckleheads sat, and this is where all the fans sat, and there's like they this is where the teams were. And to hear stories about, well, this guy played over here, and I saw him dunk this ball here,
yeah,
I saw him make this shot, and you know, it's always on the radar every single year. And to be honest with you, this has been a few years. Coach Hodge and I at Crittenden County, when he was still coaching down there, we actually talked about doing a home and home and doing maybe one game at Butler and one game at Fredonia.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It'd be really cool to be able to do that. And, you know, Fredonia's gym, Hadley played our games down there this year, or one of the games down there this year. And it's they've done a lot of work to keep that up.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of history in that gym as well, like you said. So it'd be pretty cool to play a high school game down there.
It's difficult for me to believe, but we've actually played longer at the Cab gym now than what we played at Butler.
That's I just It's tough to believe, really.
Yeah, it's been a long time. No, you guys have to go, but I got one more question. I asked Chuck Mitchell this last week. What's kind of the state of basketball in your guys' opinions? And if there was one thing you could change about high school basketball, what would it be?
I feel like you're putting me on the spot here about the shot
clock.
Sorry,
I'll keep doing that.
It's okay. I'm not mad at you. It's all good. I think the two most common things that come up all the time are the shot clock and class in basketball. And I'll be honest with you, when I first started coaching, I was like, basketball in Kentucky does not need to be class. There's no – like, I love the idea of one champion, one trophy. But I'm kind of the other way now. I feel like, it's pretty cool. And I don't know why I was that way in the very beginning. It wasn't that I was against class, but –
Well, I used to be that way too, though. 20 years ago, I would have said, no, we don't want classes. That's stupid. But I've kind of come around the other way now. So
yeah, and I just think it's a – I don't think it waters it down, to have – even if you only have four or five classes, you have five state champions. I don't think if we're the state champion in 1A and somebody's the state champion in 6A, I don't think it waters it down and means anything any less. I think there's ways around it. If you wanted to crown a state champ, then have all the state champions and the levels play a tournament. You always see it erupt every year where there'll be, a private school or a small school that makes a big run and, knocks off a big school. And so that's the two biggest things come to my mind. The shot clock, and I'll be honest with you, in the shot clock, I could go either way. I think in high school basketball, for the most part, it's tough for teams to hold the ball for, if you do 30 seconds or however many. It's tough for teams to hold the ball for 30 seconds anyways. So you make that shot clock 25 or 30. Is it going to change the game? It will change the game because there will be a lot more possessions, but it can make it a little more exciting plays over the course of the game. But I guess I'm indifferent to that one. It is what it is, I guess.
Sam, how do we make high school basketball better, or does it need to be made better?
Oh, I think that what I saw this year, the basketball is good. I come from a state that has class, so I'm used to class basketball, and I'm kind of used to that. Shot clock, I'm kind of old-fashioned. I kind of like to keep that as in high school, that there's no shot clock, but I could go either way as well.
Well, I'm a little bit of a traditionalist myself. The thing I always liked about basketball was there was more than one way to win a game.
Yeah.
But it seems like every time they change the rules, they change it more to make everybody want to play the same way. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing.
I agree. I think there's a couple games that come to my mind. You don't want to punish a team for being good at something. And if a team is capable of, of running an offense, or if a team and holding the ball for a certain amount of time, that putting a shot clock on them could change the game for them. It changed the whole style in which they play. And, is it fair? I don't know if it's fair or not, but, if you're trying to win the game, you don't want to take away a team's strength. So I guess that debate will be never ending until they decide to either say we're never going to do it, or we're going to look into it and give it a whirl.
Yeah. I think we will see the shot clock at some point. The National Federation's already approved it, so it's just up to the states now to decide whether they want it or not.
Something else that comes to mind, too, and I had this conversation a couple of days ago, and it came up in a few years past, and I think one region actually did it one year. It was just the concept of kind of moving away from the districts and just going to a regional tournament where everybody makes a regional tournament. And there's lots of factors that probably go into that where, everybody has to play everybody, or you base it off RPI or whatever, and then you seed. So in our region, it'd be, for now, 15 teams make the regional tournament. Your first round game maybe played at the home site of the higher seed, and then after that, everybody comes to one location, just because it makes more games during the regular season meaningful. So you play – right now you play – the only games that really affect your postseason now are the six – in our case, the six district games. So you look at the Webster Union Henderson district. They only play,
four district games. Yeah.
So four district games. So really, as a coach, you want to win every game. But as far as affecting your postseason, that's only four games for them, six games for us. Then you play some tournaments and stuff, and you can play – You can win every single game of the season but lose your six district games, and then you're the four seed. And, you know, I think that'd be a cool idea to do, to, you know, make one regional tournament and everybody gets in, everybody, and it's based – and it really doesn't affect anything other than, you know, the I guess the ability to win a district championship. But it gives – and two, it kind of rewards those teams that, you know, the regional tournament now is a blind draw. So you could have, you know – if there's, and I know in years past, there's been upsets where the team that was supposed to win didn't win, which is what you love about postseason basketball. It kind of it lays the bracket out to where if everything goes as planned, you have your four, six, or two best teams in the final game. And I think that's, you know, everybody wants to see.
You know, at one time, the regional tournament was a true blind draw among all eight teams. You could draw another runner-up or a champion or the team from your own district. So – just a little history for. I appreciate you guys coming in. I need to let you go. We could talk about ways to make basketball better.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, for the next couple of hours. But I really appreciate you guys coming in and being on the show this morning.
All right, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
That's Caldwell County Tiger basketball coaches Daniel Cookie Hicko and Sam Curran. Really do appreciate them coming in and talking some hoops with us this morning. Stay with us. We'll be back with more on the Sideline Report after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
At Little River Vet Clinic, Doctors Todd and Joanna Freeman have the experience to take care of your small and large animals. Follow Little River Vet Clinic on Facebook and find them on Glenwood Mill Road in Cadiz.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, mostly sunny skies, high of 74 this afternoon. A southwest wind could be as high as 15 to 25 miles an hour. It'll be more west-northwest as we go throughout the day. Then tonight, a mostly cloudy sky, low around 36 as temperatures are cut in half. West-northwest winds could be as high as 15 to 25 miles an hour. They'll move more north-northeast after midnight. Friday, mostly cloudy skies, high of 53, and then by Friday night, a 30% chance of rain arrives again after midnight. Mostly cloudy skies and a low of 39 degrees. But back to this afternoon, mostly sunny and 74.
Don't let the winter blues get you down. For some, this mood change is temporary and easily managed with lifestyle medication. For more information, please call 1-877-667-7017. Help is available, and the winter blues is a real condition that can be easily managed with medication. Call 1-877-667-7017. At Health First Community Health Center, your health is their main concern.
We believe you want to make wise financial decisions and live generously. At First Southern National Bank, we are making that even easier. Banking should be convenient for you and your schedule. With our new ITMs, a video teller is available to assist you with almost everything you could do inside a bank or at an ATM. You don't have to get out of your car, and the ITMs will offer extended hours, making it easier to deposit checks, withdraw cash, and more. Learn more about ITMs at fsnb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thank you to Caldwell County basketball coaches Daniel Cookie Hicko and Sam Curran for coming in and talking hoops with us this morning. Changing gears now, we're going to bring in Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. And Scott, busy time for us at Your Sports Edge, and some state wrestling coming up for us this weekend.
Yeah, we've really got three really busy times of the year. Early to mid-October being one, this part of February, and then last part of May, early part of June, when you get into district and region baseball, softball, and track, as well as tennis. So it is a busy time, but it's good to be on your toes and, you know, good to be busy.
Yeah. Caldwell County has five wrestlers that will be competing at state this weekend. Justin Kleege at 106 pounds, Logan Brown at 120, Colin Toich at 126, Kofi Walls at 132, and Cole Sherrill at 215 pounds. And, Scott, we were talking yesterday a little bit, and all five of those, as well as some other kids from our coverage area, have a chance to be on the podium come Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's a good shot that I think we have nine wrestlers total going, five from Caldwell, three from Christian, and one from Trigg. And there's a good chance that all of them could end up on the podium and finish in the top eight in their class, which would be a good end to what's turned into a long day of wrestling now at the state tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out. And, of course, a lot of people talking about the facility up at George Rogers Clark in Winchester where they hold the state tournament. A lot of interest, though, among coaches and wrestlers and their families about maybe trying to find an arena to get the state tournament back to. Of course, the Horse Park hosted it for the longest time, and before that it was in Frankfort, and it just seems like you need a big venue to have enough room to get a lot of mats out there so you can get a lot of matches in a really short amount of time.
That's true. At Atherton last week in Louisville, they had five mats total. Three were in the main gym, and then two were in their auxiliary gym. I just don't think wrestling in an auxiliary gym where there's two metal bleachers, like you see at a peewee ball field, and about 30 folding chairs around the floor. I just don't think that really gives off the vibes of a state tournament atmosphere. Atherton did the best they could, but they had these big classroom video boards they were using for scoreboards, and they were continuously going out. And so the referee would have to come over to the table to watch the clock to see how much time there was. There's, you know, two referees in each match. But one of them would have to come over and look at the laptop, you know, that still had the display because the big display was out. I just got the vibe of that being a regular tournament, not state at all. Now, this week, KHSAA voted to sanction girls wrestling, and that'll be for the 23-24 year. And one of the things that came from that meeting was that the commissioner, Julian Tackett, is going to try and find a location to either, you know, have it like piggyback, kind of like you see with region basketball right now. You have the girls for 2 days, then the boys, and then the girls, and maybe do that with wrestling. But I'm like you, Todd. You know, they need to find a nice arena somewhere in the state that can have that. They can host it where there's plenty of parking outside. Where there's plenty of room inside and there's good facilities for the wrestlers to change and to hang out. And right now, I think the state's failing the wrestlers when it comes to that.
Well, when you talk to coaches and you talk to wrestlers, I don't think anybody likes this extra round that has been put into place, the sectional or the state first round or whatever you want to call it. I think that was kind of necessitated by COVID. But I think we're past COVID enough to the point now that we could go back to the way it used to be. And, of course, wrestlers from this end of the state will make the claim that, you know, a lot of the best wrestlers in the state are from this end of the state. And so you're cutting a lot of the best wrestlers out before they have a chance to get to that state tournament and compete for a medal at state because, you know, they're losing in that sectional round before they can get there.
Well, the perfect example is Timothy Nichols for Caldwell County. You know, he was ranked eighth in the state in his weight class, and he just happened to run into, you know, some tough competition. And one thing, you know, you can have a bad match at state in the old format and still wrestle your way back to get on the podium. And with this now, if you lose an early match, in this new format, like he did, and then drop a one-point decision, you know, two matches later, like he did, he was done, you know. I mean, there was just, you know, because you're going to run into the top wrestler in your class at some point, being in, you know, being in the first region, and then you know if you're going to lose that, you have to be perfect the rest of the way. Whereas, you know, at state, you can win some matches and get into the podium round before you face another good wrestler. The officials are the ones who really hate it, because instead of, you know, getting a Friday and a Saturday off to go to state to call the wrestling matches, now they've got to ask for two consecutive Saturdays off. And in some cases, if they have to travel, they have to ask for maybe a Friday and a Saturday off, two consecutive weekends. So the officials were really the ones who were outspoken last week in Atherton, but a lot of the coaches didn't like it either. And really the first region coaches, because, you know, KentuckyWrestling.com does, you know, they put out the rankings for each wrestler in each class, and they do a good job, but then they take, you know, they look at the top wrestlers in the state, where the region they come from, and by far, Region 1's the toughest region.
No doubt.
And so
Union County, you know, is a lot of that too, you know.
Well, Union is. Paducah, Tillman, yeah. You know, they're good. You know, Christian County, Caldwell County, and then you got some others sprinkled in. McCracken County's got some good wrestlers. The team that really made out like a bandit that had a good day Saturday was Ohio County, because they're no longer in Region 1. They got moved to the Owensboro region, and so they were able to qualify more wrestlers out of that region than they would have out of Region 1. And, you know, it seemed like every time you looked up, there was an Ohio County kid wrestling, you know, in either the championship or the third place match. And under the old format, half those kids wouldn't even been there.
We're talking with Scott Brown this morning. Yeah. Scott, appreciate you coming on the show. Was just going to say that we'll have a lot of good coverage over at yoursportsedge.com this weekend from the state wrestling tournament, and then regional basketball next week too.
Correct. Yep. We go right from wrestling into region basketball. The girls gets underway Monday at Union County. They're going to have their draw tomorrow. And then the boys will begin play at Madisonville on Wednesday. They'll have their draw Saturday morning. And so we know the teams that are going to be in it. Now it's just a matter of who they're going to play and at what time.
Yeah, it should be a couple of fun weeks coming up. And then, you know, spring sports will be here, and I always enjoy the spring sports too. So lots of fun time coming up, and lots of coverage at yoursportsedge.com.
Yep, can't wait. Can't wait to get outside in the warm weather and cover some sports.
Absolutely. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
That's Scott Brown of yoursportsedge.com. Back with more on the Sideline Report after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Tiny homes don't have to be all that tiny. They can be custom designed. Learn more by contacting Easy Portable Buildings of Hopkinsville.
Easy Portable Buildings.
Your WeatherEdge Weather Center forecast, mostly sunny skies, high of 74 degrees this afternoon. Southwest winds could be as high as 15 to 25 miles an hour. They'll be more west-northwest as we approach the midday. Then tonight, mostly cloudy skies, low of 36. West-northwest winds could be as high as 15 to 25 miles an hour. They'll move more north-northeast after midnight. Friday, mostly cloudy skies, high of 53. And then by Friday night, another slight chance for rain back in the forecast. And that's going to be after midnight. Mostly cloudy skies with a low around 39. But back to this afternoon, we've got mostly sunny and a high of 74 degrees.
Hello, this is Brad Harrelson with First Southern National Bank. There is little doubt that many are facing financial hardships in our country today. The statistics can be startling to look at, with as many as 70% of Americans having less than $1,000 saved for emergencies. While it can be easy to point fingers, the truth of the matter is that many folks lack the basic financial knowledge to avoid these pitfalls. To meet this need, First Southern has provided financial literacy resources so that the people of our communities can be better equipped to face the financial challenges life throws their way. We invite you to explore the Financial Literacy Resource Center at fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Jim Lancaster with H&R AgriPower, inviting you to our Customer Appreciation Pancake Day this Saturday. This is one way for H&R AgriPower and Case IH to say thank you to all who have supported us over the years. Also, this year we are celebrating the career of Ross Morgan as he transitions into retirement. So come enjoy the best pancakes in the world from 7 until noon, and also visit with Mr. Ross Morgan. Don't miss H&R AgriPower's Customer Appreciation Pancake Day 7 until noon this Saturday and the special one-day savings on parts and service. H&R AgriPower and Case IH teaming up to say a huge thanks. 4900 Eagle Way in Hopkinsville.
At YourSportsEdge.com, we strive every day to continue to bring you the gold standard in high school sports coverage with more on your teams and your players.
Where did it show up there?
And while they are not gold, those crystal awards we have won for doing what we love to do are pretty cool too.
That's something you see every day.
The Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product Award winner.
Ball game over.
YourSportsEdge.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. I appreciate Kaawa County boys basketball coaches Daniel Kukihiko and Sam Curran for coming in and sitting in with us this morning. Also, thanks to Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com for joining us. The 7th District Girls Basketball Tournament concludes tonight over at Morton's Gap. It'll be top seed Hopkins County Central and number 2 seed Madisonville North Hopkins in the championship game there. Tip-off time 6 o'clock tonight, and we'll have coverage later on this evening at YourSportsEdge.com. Boys 7th District Championship game is on Friday. That's the number 1 seed, Madisonville North Hopkins, and number two Hopkins County Central, which knocked off Caldwell County in the semifinal round action on Tuesday. So the girls' championship game tonight over at Morton's Gap, and then the guys will play tomorrow night, Hopkins County Central and Madisonville North Hopkins in both of those. Of course, regional action gets underway next week. The girls' second region tournament will be played at Union County starting Monday and Tuesday. The guys' second region tournament gets underway Wednesday and Thursday over at Madisonville North Hopkins. And once again, good luck to Kaawa County's wrestlers going to the state championship rounds at George Rogers Clark High School in Winchester this weekend. Kaawa County qualified 5 for the state final, so good luck and safe travels to the Kaawa County Tiger wrestlers. That's going to wrap us up on the Sideline Report for this Thursday morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for joining us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.